Now, I was reading in my office just a little bit ago, and I went over to Matthew and chapter 13. And obviously, you know where Jesus was teaching about seed. And everybody understands for 15 years of this church, 25 years of the church was started in Lubbock, the church at Odessa, the church at Canyon, the church at El Paso, that I was blessed to start and help. Albany, Texas, it doesn't matter where it was. I've been preaching this for 30 years, going on 30 years now. And it's something that Jesus taught, and they didn't really teach it in our denominational churches growing up. But listen to me. I want you to get a hold of this. Are you ready? Get a hold of this. Everything is a seed. Say it with me. Everything is a seed. Now that's good and bad, and we've all been taught this plenty of times. God so loved us that he sowed into this world his only begotten Son, Jesus. That was a seed planted. Now, I know we're talking about finances because it's offering time and we want to be taught. For all the new people, I do not take a salary at this church. And so it's enabled me to be able to teach for just a short time every service about finances. What does the Bible say about finances? I want to know. I wanted to know in college why I had to have a job, a student loan, a Pell Grant, a singing scholarship, a rodeo scholarship. I mean, I did anything to make some money. And I wanted to know one day why. What does the Bible say about all this? And so I started digging, and I found stuff like this, talking about seed. And Jesus began to tell us this parable about sowing seed. And he starts off by sowing the seed fallen by the wayside on thorns and so on. And then all of a sudden, he gets down to verse 8 of chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel. And he said, but some of the seed fell on good ground. Well, I didn't stop there because I understand good ground. You know, you come from when we lived in Leveland, Lubbock area, that's some farming country right there. It's not like here. There's a lot of rock around here. How many of you know that? I live in a little area just 8 miles in Oatmeal, this side of Bertram. And we're the only little area where we're at that has good ground. I mean, you can go, I mean, just not even, you know, 300 or 400 yards each direction and you'll hit rock. And I wonder why Jesus now is talking about seed falling into good ground. And then he said that brought forth fruit. And then he says it this way. In the Amplified, it says, other seed fell on good soil and yielded grain some 100 times as much as was sown. Some 60 as much and some 30. I want us all to start believing God that when you plant a seed, and I know when you're giving to God financially, that's a seed. When you're working and busting your tail, you're planting a seed. Now, on the other hand, if you don't bust your tail, you're planting a seed. If you're angry and you're upset and you're hateful to people, you are planting a seed. And that harvest will come. But when you're talking about finances and you're planting that into the soil, it needs to be in good ground. I want to tell you right now that this church is good ground. Because people get saved. We build everything debt-free. We don't go in debt. And I know it takes a little longer. That's why we're believing God for that kids' church. That's what that new addition is for all you new people. It's all being built debt-free as God provides for us financially. And it's 8 rooms that all the kids, 4 bathrooms, that those kids are going to be able to go right out the doors. Right now, some of them have to go out to the arena to the announcer stand. The youth have to go across to that little building over here that's run down. We're going to be able to have them all in here. And it's going to take all of us to believe God for those finances to come in. Thank God for the top being put on. Hopefully they might finish it after church today, getting it all dried in. But then we've got to continue on from there. The electrician got to get in there. We're also having the fire marshal met with us. Was it Friday? And he come in here and he was amazed at how much we've done to just, you know, the things that he's wanting to see done in here. And we're having to put in a fire alarm system, and that's a big deal. And so hopefully the rodeo, and I'll give you next week kind of what the rodeo did for us, but it profited at least 20 grand. We've never had that before. Amen. And so that will hopefully tend to the fire marshal and some of that. But he told us that, he said, man, y'all have done a great job. Now, after we get this fire alarm system in, let's start. I want y'all to start working towards getting water up here. Big tanks. And so that's what we got to do. And we've got to get where, if something did happen, then we can have enough water where they can just plug in and get some things out. And so, okay, guys, all that takes finances, right? So when you're planting it as a seed and you're giving that above that tithe and those kind of things, man, give with that knowing that, hey, when I plant this seed, I want a 100-fold return. Because I promise you, no farmer plants a seed without expecting a harvest. And that's how we got to start doing the Word of God. When we give to the Lord financially, the Bible, this is Jesus talking. He said it should bring forth some 100, some 60, some 30. I don't know about you, but I believe for 100. Amen. So when you come and give unto the Lord, I want you to give with that attitude. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Where's all our kids? What in the world is going on? I've never seen it where the kids wasn't received. This is the first time in the history of 5 years or six of our church. Here, wait a minute. Stop right there. Come here. Get right here. Now, let him give that to you, okay? Because we got to keep this going. Now, put that in. Don't keep it. All right, you're good. I'm serious, huh? I don't know, well, they must all be at something today. I've never seen where the girls and the boys don't stand and you just hand it to them, and it's teaching them how to give, man. And so, praise God. Father, bless everything that came in today. Father, when we sow that seed to finish building this kids' church, and the seed possibly to put in a fire alarm system that I think our lowest bid is about $19,000. Father, you're the provider. We're not worrying about it. And it's the same in our lives, sir. You are the provider. We are not stressing out about money. We're just going to believe. And I know it takes all of us to do that, sir. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you would increase in the lives of these people. When they give, that, Father, you would give it back to them, press it down, shake it together, run it over in their lives. And, Father, that they're not just given to just as a law to give. No, sir, you redeemed us from the curse of the law. We don't have to give anything, sir. We now want to give to put us into the principles of sowing and reaping. And, Father, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for their giving, their faithfulness to you, sir. And now, Father, we receive it as a church that it will be used wisely to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to continue to build these buildings, to get our kids in safe places and where they can learn in order. And, Father, continuing to to meet the needs of this church. And so we will use it wisely, sir. And Father, we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Let's take communion. Once a month, at the very first of the month, we take communion. And it's very important to us that we remember. Thank you, sir. We remember what Jesus did, what communion means to us. And so, moms and dads, you're going to teach your kids about communion right now, no matter how old they are. Even if they're not saved, they'll be okay. We're going to teach them, though, that when they give their lives to the Lord Jesus, what it actually means and what Jesus actually did for us by dying and shedding his blood for us. Now look at me. How many of you know that in the old covenant days, they would bring that animal to the altar and they would sacrifice it for the sins? And they would have to trust a priest or a minister to take that sin then into the Holy of Holies, go through that little curtain that was there, and present that to the Lord. And then, as we all know, being believers in the New Testament, is that when Jesus died, he ripped that curtain for us. And now we can go in there ourselves. Say amen to that. I mean, we don't have to trust somebody else. We get to go boldly to the throne of God. Well, that's one reason Jesus died, is so that we can now go boldly to the Lord. We can make our request known, whatever it is. Just, Father, I need some help here. I need some wisdom, as James 1 talks about. I need understanding. I need direction, sir. And sometimes God will say, hey, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. Stay put. Don't make a move until you got the peace. And really, that's how you hear from God, y'all. Listen, if you've wondered how do I really hear from him, you hear from him by peace. The peace of God that passes understanding. So when you're making a decision on something that may be major in your life, if you don't have peace about it, you better stand. Don't make a move. But men, the minute, you know, man, I just feel good about this. That's the Spirit of God saying, hey, get it, brother. Come on, sis. You got it. Trust me. And I'm not talking about the devil trying to say, uh-oh, you're going to mess up. No, you know the voice of the shepherd. We're not going to believe the report of someone that's not the shepherd. Amen? Okay. Now, when you get back to communion and start understanding what Jesus actually did for us by dying, that crazy, brutal death that Jesus did for us, it'll change your life. See, that's what we're remembering right now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is this bread represents his body, and this juice represents his blood. And when you take it, you're remembering, okay, he was beaten for me, so that by his stripes, the striping that he took on his back with that cat of nine tails, you know, 39 times, they beat him. Those stripes, by his stripes, were healed, you see. That's what this represents. I mean, his flesh was brutally beaten. And then when he shed that blood, oh man, that's the power. Because it's that blood that covers a multitude of sin. I mean, your sin is not held against you, praise God. Now, the devil tells you it is, and he reminds you of that sin and me all the time. But why don't you remind him of what Jesus did, that you're redeemed from the curse, you're forgiven, Matter of fact, the Bible says when you ask God to forgive you, he throws that sin into the sea of what? Forgetfulness. Our Father doesn't even remember it anymore. So why should we? That's the body and that's the blood. So let's take, eat, and let's drink in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, sir. Father, we honor you and we thank you for sending our Savior, Jesus. What an honor that Jesus did not have to die. Since he was 100% man as well as 100% God, he could have said no. You gave him a will just like we have, sir. And he could have said, no, it's too much pain. But Father, he didn't do that. Matter of fact, he gave his life for all of us. And because he loved you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As we remember it, we remember what you did for us. And we'll never forget it. Because now we have power. Thank you, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, let me let these ushers get all this. If you'll just pass your old little cups. Thank you, sir.
Before you release children's church, we need to pray over this little girl right now.
Bring her up. Let's pray over her.
Come on.
What's going on? Hey, family, come on. Y'all just come with her. Just okay, so what is the name of what they're trying to tell you cancer-wise? What is it?
Brain cancer.
Okay. All right, so we all know in this body that Jesus, the Bible says, has a name above every name, including brain cancer. And so, if y'all will agree, we're going to do like Mark 16 says, we're going to lay hands on the sick, and then they'll recover. And you, because you got childlike faith, I want you to agree that, by golly, I'm healed in Jesus' name, and I'm gonna have life and not death. It's not going to get me, right? And you're going to be a kid that has fun in life and not sick. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, sir, for the anointing of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. And we, by faith, are laying hands on this little girl.
Yes.
We're commanding cancer in this brain to die and leave
yes.
this body. Praise this body was created in the image of you, sir.
Yes.
So, Father, we will not stand for sickness and disease to come upon this body. And so, Father, by faith, we all agree that this body, from the top of her head all the way to the soles of her feet, is exactly the way you created it, sir. Nothing missing, nothing broken,
amen.
Completely whole. So we thank you, Father, that that curse in Jesus' name is gone.
Yes.
That cancer is gone, and the doctors will just confirm it.
Amen.
Everything in this
yes.
girl's body is whole
yes.
and she'll have fun and she'll be the yes. kid she's supposed to be in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Now say, hey, I want you to say this. Say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen? All right. Now. Clear the aisles. Get ready in the back. When I dismiss you kids, I want you to go with a holler. Like yee-haw or something, okay? When I say kids' church is dismissed with a bing round, I just want you all to yee-haw or something. And then go. You ready? All our kids and all our youth is dismissed with a big round of applause. Head on. All right, we better get going here. Amen. See all of you. If someone come get them. They'll have a blast in kids' church if they want to. If they want to stand there, they can. They'll get used to it. All right. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. Hold your Bible up. Look at all those seats when the kids leave. Oh, a lot of kids. Got the Bibles? I want you to turn to the book of John, very first chapter. John and his gospel. And I want you to go to verse 1. Let's just jump right into it. If y'all will write this down, Denise, or some of it, the title of this message is The Power of Jesus. The Power of Jesus. Now, when we prayed for that sweet, precious girl, I mean, we're praying the prayer of faith. We're expecting it to happen, right? We're not just praying just to pray. I know some churches that I was raised in that really didn't believe in healing. Or, and I saw this, I forget where I saw it, and I thought, no. The lady was praying, and she said, "Father, if it be thy will, heal this person." And I knew right then there was full of doubt and unbelief. Because all that tells me is you don't know what God's will is. And his will is that that little girl is healed. He didn't create her to die early. He wants her to live a long life and a satisfied life, praise God. But we got to believe. I mean, we got to believe. And then when things don't go our way, like when we prayed for my dad, and, you know, we were believing for his healing, and, you know, and I tell you what, he lived for a long time and then went on to heaven. And yeah, there's confusion and those kind of things. Who's to know that my dad didn't say, "You know what? I'm ready. I'm ready to go." And instead of us saying, "Well, you know, God must not heal everybody." No. The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. And we're going to believe this word. I remember praying for a man years ago. He was a minister, and I'm telling you, he knew this word backwards and forwards. And Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, told me one day, "I tell you what, if that man dies, he'll die in faith. He'll just die because he's ready to go to heaven." And there's a time when people get tired of fighting or whatever. Today, we're going to talk about the power of Jesus. Now, if you're born again, Jesus lives on the inside of you, right? I mean, that's why we are a spirit man, woman, that live in a body that has a soul. It's called the spirit soul. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions that live in this fleshly body, right? Spirit, soul, and body. But really what we've got to tap into is the power. I remember when another man of God's wife, he was a minister, and they told her she didn't have very much to live, very long to live, and she's in the hospital. And one day the Lord told her, "Hey, look at that electrical plug over there. And I want you," he told her, "I want you to meditate on that electrical plug. Because as we all know, especially if you're an electrician or you know electricity, what you stick into that plug, there's power." Right? I mean, if you don't add something to that plug, it's not going to really do anything for you. And she started thinking about that. And she said, "You know, I finally started figuring out, wait a minute, the power is Jesus. And he's already done everything he's going to do to heal me. That means I've got to tap into the power, praise God. And if I can tap into that power, Turn me down just a little bit. I might get excited. And I don't know if I've got someone else's headset, but this thing's way longer than mine. Mine's usually way back here, so I can scream and spit a little bit more. Anyway, when we figure out and tap into that power of God, I'm telling you, that's when you can speak to a mountain. I mean, the mountain, and command that mountain. And I'm talking about full of faith and power. And you're going to see right here in this scripture that we're going to read from about 1 down to 12 about the power of Jesus that lives on the inside of every one of you that has called him Lord. For me, that was 1979, May the 10th. I was 10. Figure it out. I'm almost 50. All my presents need to go to 530 County Road 326. No one's writing that down. What's the deal? Let's talk about the power. All right. Look in this very first verse, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Say amen to that. Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, that all things were made by him. Now that's something to think about for just a second. All things were made by him. No one can get credit for anything because God created it all. He created your mind to think and invent something, you see. And man, when you get a hold of that, it's going to change your thought life about the one that lives on the inside of you. That your God has created all. He created healing. He created the peace of God. He created the joy of the Lord. He created the blessing. He created it all. And we need to establish that God created all. He created even Satan. The problem with Satan, though, is that he all of a sudden thought that he wanted to become God. And we all know from what happened there, he didn't get to. It caused him a lot of trouble. And then it caused us a lot of trouble, okay? All right, so look. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Now, we're talking about the one that lives on the inside of you. And the life was the light of men. All right, so let me stop and just help us understand about the power of Jesus, the power of God, that the Word was with God. I decided to look up that word with. And literally in the Greek, this word was used to describe the relationship between a father and a son. It's been translated by some, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was face to face with God. Now, when you start thinking about your relationship with God the Father like you would your own mom or dad, it should change in your life. Now, I'm sure there's exceptions where maybe your mom or dad wasn't the greatest. But it really doesn't matter because your Father is the greatest, your Father in heaven. And if you start thinking about your relationship with God as that relationship between a dad and a son, a mom and a daughter, or so on, hopefully it will start changing your mind to start believing who you really are in Christ, and that God's interested in everything in your life. He's created you, as we just established. He's created everything. He's made it all. And if he created you in his image, like we prayed for that little precious girl, then praise God, he didn't make you by mistake. That's why this church doesn't believe in abortion. Because we believe in life. As John 10:10 said, we believe that Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life and not death. I didn't know if y'all saw the Alabama congressman. Did y'all see that? How he said, well, you know, they're either going to die later or we can kill them now. See, that's backwards thinking. It's not lined up with the Word of God, because God is a merciful God that even in the worst situations in life, God can bring you out of that darkness. Now, it's going to talk about that actually here in just a second. Check this out. Because verse 5 says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I looked up that word darkness, because we have to understand that we have to see that darkness does not have power over the light. Now, here we're talking about the Word of God. And, you know, you can go down past verse 12 and you'll find out that the Word is Jesus, who become flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Jesus was the Word that God sent, okay? He sent Jesus as the light of the world. Would y'all agree with that? Darkness, because of Satan, that is not your Lord, by the way, right? Because Jesus is your Lord. Satan is darkness, but darkness cannot overcome light. Not even turning off the lights in this room. You pull out a flashlight on your phone, and it's going to illuminate, and it's going to cause the darkness to start going away. And if we turn on enough light like we have in here, then that darkness is gone. You might see a shadow or two, but the darkness does not overpower the light, see? I looked up this word comprehend in the Greek. It literally means that darkness does not have the ability to suppress or to hold the light under its domain. Think about that for a minute. I'm not saying that the darkness won't attempt to overcome the light, because darkness constantly wants to overcome the light of the Lord that lives on the inside of you. The darkness constantly wants you to start thinking bad thoughts about your life. He's wanting you to be in fear and in doubt and in unbelief. But man, when you tap into the light, then that light will override that darkness of fear. And you'll start loving, because perfect love casts out fear, right? Now, we're not saying that darkness and the world system is not trying to overtake us, believers. We've just got to learn who we are in Christ Jesus. That we're more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ, which gives us strength. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In other words, darkness cannot keep us down, because we have Jesus that lives on the inside of us, that has given us the power to overcome darkness, you see. The light of God always prevails. All right, so let's keep reading. We're talking about the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it, because Jesus, man, he's full of light. Now, get a hold of this, because just so you'll keep understanding as we go on, we're talking about the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. If you're not saved, you got to get saved today. I know a lot of people come to this church and they get saved. I mean, you'll see five every Sunday get saved. Every now and then, no one, but usually there's always someone that gives their lives to Jesus at this church. That's fruit, praise God. I grew up in churches where there were five in 1 year, and they were excited at five. Usually just someone's kid that had been to the church for all their life. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, Romans 10:9, if you confessed him with your mouth that he's Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, right? Okay. If he's the Lord of your life, man, he resides on the inside of you, and he's the power that you have available to you, and he's the light, okay? All right? Now, I'm talking about this is going to help someone in this place or listen, or watching live right now, that if you're in a dark place, I've heard that said a while back. Someone come to me and said, man, I was just in a dark place. If you're in a dark place, you've got the light on the inside of you that can get that darkness removed in Jesus' name. You see. Okay. There was a man, verse 6, sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I'm talking about the light. He was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of the light, Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now think about that, because here God sent Jesus. I don't know why. I told the Lord yesterday when I was studying this, I said, Father, there's going to be like a spirit of teaching come on me. Because normally a spirit of teaching, you know, like John, where you can go through 16 different scriptures. And no, I can preach for hours on one scripture. But here's a teaching anointing. It comes on apostles that I want people to get a hold of this and be taught what God is really saying right here that can change your life as a believer. Because when you understand the power that lives on the inside of you, ooh, Jesus, that devil that's trying to destroy you with darkness and with sin and with sickness and disease and with marriages being broken and busted up and finances that, you know, are terrible and, I mean, darkness in a lot of places. You have access to the light that can overcome anything dark in your life. If it's an addiction, you've got the light to snuff out that darkness of addiction. You just got to tap into the power of God that lives on the inside of you. And you got to be willing to say, yes, that power that lives on the inside of me, regardless of what I did back when, sin-wise, is stronger than that spirit of darkness trying to get me depressed and commit suicide. Right. Telling you, when I get this look of boy, the Spirit of God is here wanting to do something in this place. When I get, I've always preached really bold. A man told me in El Paso one time when we'd go there once a week, drive all night to get back home to Lubbock. We'd drive, get to a service just in time to preach it at 7:30 and drive all night to get back to Lubbock. And a man told me, don't you ever get rid of that boldness that you have. And what I've seen, though, is how people in this church start getting bold about stuff. I mean, when someone says, how you doing? Highly favored to God. I'm blessed. I mean, it freaks everybody out in the grocery store, but whoa, fanatical. But what you're really saying is that boldness is overtaking that darkness that is trying to destroy, kill, steal, and those kind of things. And you're getting that boldness, man. That boldness to, I have authority over that girl. That's what these parents are saying. And she's not going to die. She's going to live and have a prosperous, long life in Jesus' name. And that's what they have to speak over. And we have to speak that over all our kids. When London had some stomach issues a while back, and we just started speaking, no, you're not going to, you know, have Crohn's disease like they tried to tell me I had. Because, you know, that curse can go down generation to generation. It might even skip a generation. But man, when you take authority over it and say, no, I break that curse in Jesus' name, and it stops right here. Because we found out, I think Dad told me, that someone up in his family had Crohn's disease. And then they tried to tell me I had Crohn's disease. And that's, as y'all know, that's when I said, negatory, ghostwriter, I don't have that. I'm not receiving that for 1 minute. And praise God, I was healed. And have never taken the pills that they told me to take. That's been going on 20 years now. So we and mom and dad had to take authority over that curse that was trying to go down. And so when it was London, I said, oh, no, no, no. That curse was broke because, look, the darkness wants to try to overtake the light. So the devil's going to say, oh, yeah, just part of it. Mama had breast cancer and the daughter is bound to get it because, you know, it's just a part of our family heritage. No, no, that is a curse from the pit of hell. And we've got to break that curse. No, just because great-grandmama had it and grandmama had it and mama had it does not mean you have to have it. So you've got to know the power that lives on the inside of you, praise God, so that you can break that curse. Well, most people will be like, they don't know that they have this power to speak. Well, that's what the word says, that we, the Jesus that lives on the inside of us, has a name above every name, right? Okay, if we don't believe that, then it's not going to come to pass in our life. But man, when you tap into that power, well, let's talk about that for a second, real fast. Let me look at my big clock back there. 20 minutes. Everybody just look back at it. Look how big that clock is back there. It's huge. All right, look. So John came. It goes back in 10 that Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Think about that for a second. I can imagine how Jesus must have felt that his own creation wouldn't receive him. I mean, here he's trying to tell everybody, I'm the Son of God. Lazarus came forth, being dead for 4 days. The blind people were healed, blind Bartimaeus and so on. The woman with the issue of blood was healed. Everybody that came in contact with Jesus was healed, praise God. Now here's what religion does. Man, it ticks me off. Because religion, this will convince you, well, yeah, but it, you know, so-and-so didn't get healed, grandmama didn't get healed, so God must not heal everybody. And before you know it, you've planted a seed in your mind. Uh-oh, I guess it's not God's will that you know, so-and-so was supposed to get healed, and maybe he doesn't believe or doesn't heal all. Maybe he just heals the ones that work the hardest. You see where that comes from? For you know it, you have some denominations that think you get saved by your works. You don't get saved by your works. You get saved by believing in Jesus. Romans 10:9. Come on. If thou shalt, who's thou? Who's thou? Us. If thou shalt confess, what's confessing? You got to speak it. I mean, you can't confess underneath your breath. It doesn't matter if you think it. No, you have to confess that Jesus is Lord, and then what? Believe that God raised him from the dead. Then it says, thou, who's thou? Us shalt be what? Saved. Okay, so then the religious people says, you know, you hadn't prayed enough. That's the devil talking, of course. You don't know enough scripture. You hadn't spent enough time in church. No, it doesn't have anything to do with any of that. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church. You need to come. Amen. But it's not by law that you have to come to church. No, you just come to church because we're assembling together and we're being taught, and you all need a shepherd. So do I. That's why my dad was my shepherd. There are some preachers out there that think they don't have to have a shepherd. I don't make that. They expect you to have a shepherd, but they don't think they should. No, all of us should have a shepherd that is serving the shepherd named Jesus, right? Okay. Now, I can imagine Jesus and how he must have felt, though, when his kids, his creation, because remember up in the top, remember what it said? That all things were made by him. Now, Jesus was saying, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to have to die, but I'm going to be raised from the dead. And a lot of his creation did not receive him or believe him. And I can imagine how it must have felt that his own creation wouldn't receive him. So think about this. Has anybody ever wronged you? Well, everybody in here should say yes. Matter of fact, I wronged someone yesterday and got honked at. I mean, my wife and my kids, all of them headed to her sister's to help her sister's husband work cattle on the ranch. And they're working all this next week. So I'm by myself. Me and my mom's at the guest house, and I'm in the big house. And so I knew mom, I don't invite her to go eat because she's got this eating stuff that is not going to agree with my eating. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's probably not many French fries in her little eating stuff. So I go to town, grab something to eat, and as I'm coming back from Cedar Park, I get across. You know, y'all know where 1431 is, and you go in there to Chick-fil-A or whatever, and you're coming out that side road, and you got to get all the way out, and then you got to get on the loop. And so I looked, and I had this little opening. But I didn't realize that someone was coming fast off of the loop on. And I pulled off, and all of a sudden, the honking started. I had wronged them. Okay, but let me ask you a question about wronging someone or someone that's wronged you. Did it affect your desire to love them? Well, it did me, because there was some fingers that were Anybody out there? I mean, it's like, what are all those fingers for? You know. Well, Jesus still died for us, and he could have, since we wronged him, so-called preachers. You remember the ministers that didn't believe in him. Matter of fact, they lined him up and beat Jesus of that day. Okay, let me get done. Man, this is fun. Jesus died for us even though we wronged him. So that tells us that the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus now lives in us. Or in other words, just as the Spirit of God empowered Jesus to love people regardless of what they did to him, can then empower us to do the very same thing. Let me tell you something. Don't you be a person that holds grudges about different things done to you from people. Don't you hold a grudge. It will affect your healing, man. I mean, when we hold that resentment and that darkness on the inside of you, then the light really can't do anything. But man, when you understand that same power that was on the inside of Jesus that empowered him to love every one of the people that beat the heck out of him, that crucified him, that stuck him with a spear, he still said, Father, they know not what they do. Forgive them, sir. Now, can we do that often? I mean, it's going to take some work. But yet the same power that empowered Jesus empowers you and I. And that's the power that we need today to be the overcomers that God called us to be in these last days. If not, you're going to be mad at everyone. You're going to be mad and blame God because you got something going on the inside of you. But when you say, no, 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 the power that lives on the inside of me, that empowered Jesus to love and forgive and to receive his healing, it can do the same thing to me no matter what the doctors say about me and my health. It's going to take some boldness, though. It's going to be, my God, I see y'all's Trump caps. That man's got to have some boldness. to go through what he's going through? He can't do anything right. Nothing. The economy is the greatest it's ever been. And they'll still say, yep, it ain't working for everybody. What about just saying something good about the man for once? He's the president of the United States, and biblically, we are supposed to honor that. Regardless if we don't agree with all. But he's the president of the United States, and we honor that. And then not only that, we pray for him. Because I'm here to tell you, if you look at the bigger picture than maybe some of the things that he says and does, you'll see the power of God working in that man's life to not give up. Because any of us would have said, that's it. I'm out of here. Being the pastor of a church would cause a lot of people that are not truly called to be the pastor to commit suicide. Because you don't know what goes on with some of you crazy people. Hey, and if I'm talking to you and you thought that, then I'm talking to you. But hopefully you didn't say, he ain't talking to me, is he? No. Usually not. They're not here constantly. But I'm here to tell you, I want to tap into that power, man. Amen. Now, let's finish. Okay? Verse 12, and we'll close right here. Because here is where it confirms everything. You ready? But as many as received him, that's talking about you and I, receiving Jesus as Lord, to them gave he what? Say it loud. Power. That's why I want you to bring your Bible. Bring your Bible to church. I mean, bring it. Because you need to see with your own eyes. If you don't have a Bible, just trust me. In the King James, let me jump over here into the Amplified. I don't know whatever version you have. The Amplified says, to as many as did receive and welcome Jesus, him, and he gave them the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God, that is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, rely on his name. Now, I don't know about you, but that ought to get you excited. That no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter that what someone else you know is going through this morning, if Jesus is their Lord, they have the power of God. The Word of God that was already made, that dwelt in you, around you, through you, that power you've got to tap on and tap into so that no matter what happens in your life, that power to forgive, that power to love, that power to overcome, you can do it if you would just dare to believe. So the next time someone tries to put you down, the next time the doctor tries to say, hey, you're not going to make it very much longer, or the next time your transmission goes out, went out this morning, I heard. You say that's not going to keep me down because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I will overcome this little trial and tribulation. I'll overcome this smitten of darkness because I've got the light that lives on the inside of me. You're going to be saying in your body, you know what? I'm going to remain healthy and strong all the days of my life. And I'm going to continue to get up and be the power of God that God created me to do until I'm ready to go home. And then when you're ready to go home, you just say, hey, honey, I'm going home. And then go. You want to go with him? Amen. Not yet, though. Give me a few days' notice, okay? Come on, y'all. We've got the power of God living on the inside of us if we're born again. Now, if you're not born again, you need to get saved right now. Give your life to Jesus right now. How do you do that? Confess this prayer. Everybody confess it. You ready? Say, Jesus, come into my life and save me. Be my Lord because I believe you have been raised from the dead and I'm born again and I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth, and I have the power of God on the inside of me. I am now born again.
I am now saved. Jesus is now the Lord of my life. And Father, I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Now, before you lift your head and say amen, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible says your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that was you, and you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, before you prayed that prayer, you didn't know if you was going to heaven or hell. But because you just prayed that prayer, you made Jesus the Lordship of your life. I'm telling you, you will bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. So if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or you're watching live. If that was you, when I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer and I mean it. Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. That's what I want you to do. When I count to three, get that hand up if that was you and you gave your life to Jesus this morning. Ready? One, with every bit of boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Appreciate that. Glory be to God. I want to give you a Bible. Anybody else? Don't let me miss it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Maybe you're here this morning and man, you've allowed darkness to try to snuff out the light. And you just want me to pray for you if that's you. And it don't matter what it is. No one will even know but God and you. Maybe someone close to you. But you just allowed darkness to try to feel like it has more power over the light. If that was you, just stick your hand up and let me see it. Let me pray with you. I see it. I see it. I see it. Just get it up. Doesn't matter what it is. I see it. You can put it down when you... Thank you. Every one of you that raised your hands, I want you to put your hand right over your heart. And let me pray for you. And all of us, we're just going to pray with you. Father, every person that has their hand over their heart that's tried to allow darkness to overcome the light, they now know. And I want you to give them that faith right now that darkness cannot overcome light. And Jesus is the light. So the power is in Him, not in us, what we do, our works. No, it's in Jesus. So whatever the darkness that's trying to overtake them is, remove it in Jesus' name by the light of the Lord Jesus and His power that we have available to all of us that would believe. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. Now everybody in here say amen. Before we have people come and join our church, I want y'all to confess this. You can keep that music going, but I want you to confess this out of your mouth. Everybody in here, you ready? I want you to say, I confess that the day I was born again, I received the dynamic, explosive power of God into my life. The power removed my old nature and made me brand new and a brand new creature. Nothing from this old me continues to exist, for I'm completely brand new. When God made me, He put forth His finest creative powers, and I now live on this earth as a masterpiece of His grace. God has made me into something quite spectacular. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Now give God praise. Come on. Thank you, Lord. So when you leave this ranch, that power doesn't stay here. It goes with you. Amen.
and you use it out there, because you're going to go out in a dark world. If you turn on the news, there's lots of darkness. Anytime you see something, that you live close to Austin, it's dark. It's crazy. I mean, the things that are happening nowadays. I'm telling you, I watch that. The only reason I watch the news, and my wife is like, again, is because I want to know what's going on. I want to see the signs of the times. I saw yesterday where a family is allowing their 10-year-old to decide sometime if it's a boy or a girl. And did y'all see that? A school in Texas had to go and start training all of their teachers about neutral something. I'm here to tell you right now, that will not try to seed into our community. And I'll just declare it right now. God created you as either a boy or a girl, okay? And there's ways to prove it. We better not go there. I'm just saying. He didn't create you just for you to decide it sometime. What a devil. My Lord. Judge Stout, come on up here real fast. Real fast, before, if God it's 1 minute till, so depending on how long you speak, you'll be the one going over, not me. So, but this, she's going to speak about the Alliance of Life, and that she's in charge of now, and you, so she can explain.
The most dangerous place to be for a child is in a mother's womb. 4,100 babies are aborted every day in our nation. And in Texas, thank God, we finally have made it safe after 20 weeks. But up until 20 weeks, the Texas Alliance for Life is the largest pro-life nonprofit organization in the state of Texas that has worked since 1988 in order to change the laws. Because in 1973, when abortion was legalized, you could abort a child all the way up to 9 months, period. And it still happens in some parts of the nation and the world. It's up to people like us to help fund organizations like Texas for Life for Life. They fund not only legislature that will help change all these laws that brought it down to 20 weeks at least, and they also funded laws that regulate abortion. Before then, any abortion could be formed anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances by any doctor. And those were not good circumstances. People have died and been maimed by abortions. And so the legislation has passed regulations, because there was no regulations on abortion in 1973 because it wasn't legal to perform one. And so the legislation necessary to do this has been pushed, and this Texas Alliance for Life has been the most successful organization in our state and is the largest organization in our state. They are holding a fundraiser that not only helps to do what they need to do at the legislature, but to educate legislators, to help put judges in place when the Supreme Court finally has an opportunity to rule on this, to make sure we have people that are there to make the right decisions. And also they educate school boards. And they educate city council members. They also help fund the pro-life pregnancy resource centers. So this coming June the 14th, there will be a walk. You don't have to walk to help give money. You can either just give money. We've passed out some papers where you can just write a check for $10, $100, or $1,000. It doesn't matter. Whatever you give, you become a part of the solution. Don't ever think that a small amount is too small. Whatever you want to give to the Texas Alliance for Life, you can. Or if you want to help, take whatever you have and take it back to your office and let other people give. That's what the walk sheets are for. You don't have to take money. You don't have to receive a check. All you have to do is make a pledge. Texas Alliance for Life will build them for you. So all you have to do is ask them if they'll pledge an amount of money. And in the end, they will not only have given some money to an organization that's very worthy, but they will also be tied into what's going on. The movie Unplanned has awakened a lot of you to the truth of what's going on in our nation, and I'm thankful, very thankful. I'm sorry for what Abby has gone through, but God has used it for his good to help understand what's going on. My time is up. If you want to talk to me, I'm going to be here for the next several.
You got a table back there,
I'll
right?
be here for Sundays to come. And the walk is not till the 15th, so we're just going to raise some money between now and 15. And then on the 15th, if you want to walk at one of the places and just enjoy the camaraderie of the other people that enjoy helping, then you can. So God bless you, and thank you.
Good. Thanks, Judge. Amen. The only other thing I was going to tell you about is we're really starting to now, after the rodeo, pump up the co-op that we're going to be starting next year.